Hello, my name is Elijah Davis, Minnesota truck apostolic secretary and congregation outside of Truck Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 8th, 2024, or it's the 6th day of Tishri, 2028. We're going to start our first service today. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua. You go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. You bring him back into the fold, where there'll be shepherd from the cold. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua. Out in the desert, hear the cry, out on the mountains, wild and wild. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee, go find the sheep where'er they be. One-time greetings number 46. This says the service of Yahweh and the gathering. Alright. The service of Yahweh and the gathering time. We ought to stay there, 49th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter points out the service of Yahweh and the gathering time. Their racial lineage and their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses. Isaiah 49:1-3. Listen, O Isles, unto me. Hearken, ye people from far, for the Yahshua has called me from the womb. Now we're talking about Yahshua. He is the Yahweh of the Old and the New Testament. He inherited it. Says so there in Hebrews chapter 1. For Yahshua has called me from the womb. We're not taking anything away from the Father Yahweh. For he is the ultimate creator of all things. He created his own son and his son together. Work together, has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, as he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword, and a shadow of his hand as he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Isaiah is making a prophecy here. When Yahshua is glorified, it will be by a living prophet in these last days. And whoever that living prophet is, we know it's going to be the antithetical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. John the Baptist, Elijah of his day, glorified Yahshua. He pointed him out, introduced him to the people there in Israel. For the Spirit of Yahweh and the person of Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Yahweh's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even in the isles of the sea. Since the Jacob himself was dead long before Isaiah, the prophet, wrote, the truth clearly stands out that the Spirit of the Yahweh in this scripture speaks not personally to Jacob himself, but unto his descendants, unto those under whom this truth is made known, and now bear the responsibility to broadcast it far and wide. Plainly then, the people in whom the Yahshua is the Son is to be glorified, and who again bring Jacob unto Isaiah 49:3-5, are themselves also to be made known internationally, for they are those who finish the gospel work, or the teaching of faith in the blood of the Yahshua since the cross. Because the apostles started the gospel work, they had the former reign at the cross 2,000 years ago, and they laid the foundation for understanding of what the plan of salvation constituted, and that was that Yahshua, blood, faith in the blood of Yahshua, plainly pointed out in Hebrews 10:19-20, the very last to them, the Yahshua gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. Okay. Now these people that have this truth now, the scientific truth, and that's who we are. These are to be his servants during the gathering of the people. Okay, now, we still haven't started the gathering of the 144,000. That's going to be led out by Yahshua, the man with the linen there in Ezekiel 9. With rather than coming by his side. These are to be the servants during the gathering of the people, the day in which Yahshua is glorified. there been fit, as it were, in his quiver, indicates that they're coming into the limelight is to be a complete surprise unto all. For the first time the world is to learn that these servants of the Yahweh are the tail end of the Jacob's descendants, his hidden servants, those who are together his people, even from the isles of the sea. Again, it is written, in the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For Yahshua has faithful servants who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed to you. These are the precious ones now. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. But it may be with or in a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, 80-81. Isaiah 49:4. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Yahshua, and my work with my Yahweh. At the outset of their labor, the results must be such as to bring almost a complete discouragement. For they nevertheless know that they are appointed by Yahweh, and so they leave their judgment, their work, and success with him. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith Yahshua, let's go with the Father there. And now saith to Yahweh the Father, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him, though Israel be not yet, as yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahshua and my Yahweh, the Father, shall be my strength. For their encouragement, they are told that even though Israel be not gathered, he will, however, be gathered, that they shall be glorious in the eyes of Yahshua, and the Yahshua shall be their strength. Since they are now not at another time, but in the day that this prophecy is fulfilled, call to bring Jacob unto the Yahshua again, it shows that the Jacob, as the people of Yahweh and the Jacobite state, must have departed from the Yahshua. Now they must be brought back to him by a mighty revival and reformation. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant for the raising up of the tribes of the Jacob and for the restoring of the preserved of the Israel. For I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my servant of salvation unto the end of the earth. For this scripture had as its type the time when the apostles were finally instructed to preach the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the good news of salvation unto the Gentiles, as well as to the Jews. Now, for the raising up of the tribes of the Jacob is first for the raising up, needing to raise up the first fruits, the 144,000 first. 12,000 out of each tribe of the Israel, Revelation 7, 2. Moreover, to be a light and salvation unto the ends of the earth means that these latter-day servants of Yahweh are to finish the gospel work, are to preach the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant, faith in it. So it says, are to preach the plan of salvation to the blood of everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the kingdom and all the world for a witness unto all nations, and thus bring the end. Matthew 24:14. It is our purpose, therefore, not only to bring the light of the Yahweh unto the denomination where the first fruits, 144,000, Revelation 14:4, of the great spiritual harvest are, but even to bring the same light unto the second fruits, unto the great multitude that are gathered out of all nations, a multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. Those who are thus privileged are, as Yahweh himself testified, that the descendants of Jacob, as the lost tribes of the Israel, who are now coming into the light, Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith Yahshua, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, unto him whom man despises, unto him whom the nation abhors, unto a servant of the rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of Yahshua that is faithful, and of Yahweh the Father that is faithful, and his Son, the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. And who is this thee? And it's the remnants of David. Of Jacob. For Yahshua is here, seen to speak unto a people whom man despised, unto them whom the nation abhors, unto the servants of rulers, unto laymen, not to denominationally recognize ministers. This servant of the Yahshua, the scripture makes clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was Yahshua himself. the hate, then that is heaped upon us by our Lord, the sin, Seventh-day Adventist brethren, must not be a discouragement unto us, but rather a bring a great encouragement. And why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua Himself testifies that we are the servant of the Yahweh for this time, that He is to bless our work so much so that even kings shall see our rising, and princes also shall come and worship with us in the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith Yahshua, in a successful time have I heard this, and in a day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages. Yahweh has heard us in the probationary time, during the 12th parabolic hour of time, in which we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to inherit the desolate heritages, to restore all things. Isaiah 49:9. That thou mayest say unto the prisoner, go forth unto them that are in darkness. Show yourself, they shall feed in their ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. For it matters not where the Yahweh's people feed, nor under what circumstances they may be placed. Now they shall nevertheless all hear his servants proclaiming the year of the final Jubilee, and all are to be let out or free. All are to share this great ever increasing spiritual peace. So it says in Isaiah 49:10-11, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the waters shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. For Yahshua here guaranteed that now in the gathering time there shall be no obstruction of any kind, that he is master of the situation. Isaiah 49:12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Yahweh's highway shall be filled and exalted, and a multitude gathered from the four corners of the earth shall safely walk therein. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain, for Yahshua has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. not that the Yahshua will comfort his people, but that he has already comforted them. He has filled them with the truth. Isaiah 49:14. Because I said, Yahshua has forsaken me, and my Yahshua has forgotten me. Before they are sealed, those who are to be the inhabitants of Zion, the 144,000, Saint Yahweh has forsaken them. Yahweh's answer unto them, though, is this. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Even though some, rather than praying for the reestablishing of the Zion, are actually praying against it. Nevertheless, they too will soon find out that Yahweh is entirely for it. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. From all the natural appearances, it seems that Yahweh has forgotten Zion, the place of his earthly throne. Okay, now let's look at this again. For all natural appearances, it seems that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, has forgotten Zion, the place of his earthly throne. That he has left his enemies to abuse his people, and to deface Zion's exalted hill. But Yahshua himself assures that for Zion's sake and for her people's freedom was he nailed on the cross. Isaiah 49:17. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee a waste shall go forth of thee. For Zion's children shall be anxious to get to her, but her enemies, the sinners, will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49:13-19. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Yahshua, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride is good. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. For the word, behold, calls attention unto a goodly number of the precious souls already preparing to come. And them shall Yahweh's servants glory. Moreover, in spite of the great number of the unrepentant sinners that are to be taken away, the land shall even then be too narrow because of the great incoming multitude. Isaiah 49:20. For the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place unto me that I may dwell. From this verse, we get it that the children which the Zion shall lose are those who refuse to be converted. And that is your Adventist brethren. Her law, so, is to be replaced with a great number from all nations, and thus shall the land become too narrow. The verses that follow reaffirm this view. Isaiah 49:21-23. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, since I have lost my Seventh-day Adventist brethren, through Ezekiel 9, and I am destined, accepted, and removing to and fro, and who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will lift up my hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard unto the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down unto thee with their face toward the earth, and lift up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And that's the Yahshua, the Son, talking. Though we may now be either hated or unknown, the day is coming when we shall be comforted. The great men of the earth shall then so to speak, lick up the dust of our feet. Isaiah 49:24-25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But this saith Yahshua, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Okay. No power in the world shall any longer be able to hold Yahweh's people down in the dust. Isaiah 49:26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with the sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the Mighty One of Jacob. Our enemies shall kill one another with as great zeal as if they had filled themselves with a sweet wine. Then those that remain shall recognize that Yahshua, as the Mighty One of Jacob, is our Savior and Redeemer. Shall we therefore still sleep on, or shall we arise in the righteousness of Yahshua and get ready to meet Yahshua and to be with him in his kingdom? Your opportunity and the time of your decision is now come and cannot be put off. You must take a firm an active stand with this layman's movement, and this, the work of which is first for the church, the Adventist church, then for the world. For this is the end of One Time of Greetings number 46, the Servants of Yahweh. Our next one is number 47. It's called Jacob's Time of Trouble. So we've got plenty of time. We're just going to go right on into that study. We'll go to prayer thought. It says, Jacob's Time of Trouble, Judah and Israel going home. It's the hour of June the 28th, 1947. We are now to continue the same subject which we have been studying from the book of the Isaiah, but today we shall study it from the book of the Jeremiah. To begin with, we shall note that the first chapters of the book deal with the ancient Judah and Israel, with their sins and stubbornness of the heart, and with the resultant dispersion throughout the Gentile nation. For the 30th chapter, however, deals not with the scattering of the ancient Judah and Israel, but with the gathering of the Judah and Israel in our day. We shall now begin our study with the first three verses of Jeremiah 30. It says, "For the word that came unto the Jeremiah from the Yahshua, saying," thus speaketh the Yahshua of the Israel, "saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it." Note that both Judah and Israel together have the promise of returning unto their homeland, as this has never yet been realized. The prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 30, verse 46. And these are the words that Yahshua spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus said Yahshua, "We have heard the voice of the chairman of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with the child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into the paleness?" For the cause of the fear here forecast is fundamentally needless and unnecessary, declares Yahshua, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of this. For the people that have come unto this antitypical time of the trouble are returning unto their homeland or property. Apparently it is bad enough to frighten all, but Yahweh's encouraging counsel is filling up plainly the burden of this chapter is concerning the antitypical returning unto the homeland. Though terrible the thought the trouble may seem, yet the outcome of it is to be the same as in the type. Right now, we may not appreciate this study as we ought to, but the time is soon coming in which we will dig as fast and as hard for it as we would get out from under an avalanche. Those who have but little faith in the word of Yahweh, though, the study will not do them much good. Now is the time to start cultivating the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant that we need to have, that we need to have them. Jacob, our type, well knew that Yahweh had directed his return from the planet around unto the homeland. Yet he trembled when he heard that Esau with 400 men were on the way to meet him. Besides, he was led to wrestle with the angel all night long, for he prevailed only because he would not let the angel go until he blessed him. The final result was that on the morrow, the Esau, rather than destroying the whole company, very kindly greeted Jacob with a kiss and cordially invited him to return home. So when it all worked itself out, Jacob plainly saw that there was no need at all to have ever appeared. How encouraging that all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. That which happened unto Jacob is sure to happen unto us, and how comforting to know all this ahead of the time. Now, if never before, we should see that where there is a type, there is also an antitype, and that where there is no type, there is no truth. Jeremiah 30, verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, said Yahshua the host, that's the Son of Yahweh, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Now this verse plainly says that Yahweh is to free his people from the Gentile yoke, and that strangers, unconverted, shall no more trouble them. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Yahshua and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve the Yahshua and the king whom Yahweh himself shall provide. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, said to Yahshua, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now this is who we are. Really, it's Jacob that he's talking about. There is therefore no need of fear, but there is a need for faith in the promises of the Yahweh. Jeremiah 30:11. for I am with thee, saith the Yeshua, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For the punishment dealt to Israel is their being scattered among the Gentiles, as amplified in the verses which follow. The time of the freedom has nevertheless come, and for this we should be glad and give Yahweh the glory. Jeremiah 30, verse 12 to 19. For this saith Yahshua, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased, why cost thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wound, saith the Yahshua, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, not Zion, the 12th hour, house of David, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of the Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. After having gone through their captivity, the people shall fully realize Yahweh's mercy and his wisdom to save them, for they shall be happy forevermore. For he will multiply them in the land of their fathers, and there he will make them great. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. His children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, for their kingdom, as the Seventh-day Adventist Church purified in the 12th hour, and apart from the world, is to be as natural and as real as was the kingdom of the ancient Israel, that there will be no sinners in it. Jeremiah 30, 21, 23. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, says the Yahshua? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua goeth forth with the fury, A continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For the noble shall be of themselves, that is, this kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of David, that's mentioned in prophecy of Daniel 2:44-45, shall not be self-governing, shall be self-governing, with a theocracy. Okay, for the world, for the word, behold, calls attention unto something that can be seen, and therefore implies that the Assyrian whirlwind is already doing its work. No wonder then that we are now having a disturbance of all kinds and heavy loss of life and property throughout the earth. Jeremiah 30:24. For the fierce anger of the Assyrian shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. For the very fact that these truths are now revealed, and also the fact that the things foretold by the scriptures are now taking place, plainly show that we are now living in the latter days, the days in which we must consider the cause of the evils which is envelops the whole world and make our calling and election sure. How thankful we ought to be that the Asher is feeding us with the meat in the due season. Though people kill one another by the millions in order to free themselves from the yoke of some other nation, Moses freed the ancient Israel without a casualty. We should now know that faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant removes mountains, while doubt ruins nations. We should no longer be fools and slow of the heart to believe all that the prophets have written, Luke 24:25. Believe was Yeshua's motto, and it should be ours too. No doubters will ever enter into his kingdom. These things are written that we might believe, John 20:31. There is but one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is to wholeheartedly accept and to comply with all that the prophets have written, that no one diverts your attention from this truth. All right, that brings us to the end of one time of reading number 47. Okay. Well, we can end this sermon by reading the prayer thought for number 47 then, instead of being at the end. We'll put the prayer thought on the end. Okay, the text prayer I shall read from the Mount of Blessing, page 217, beginning with the first paragraph. But today, mercy pleased with the sinner. As I live, saith Yahshua, I will have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die? Okay, it says that. for the voice that speaks unto the impenitent today is the voice of him who in the heart anguish exclaimed as he beheld the city of his love, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, unto her. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her own brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and Jerusalem shall sure beheld a symbol of the world that had rejected and despised his grace. He was weeping, stubborn heart for you, even when your tears were shed upon the mount Jerusalem. Not yet have repented and escaped your doom for a little space. The gift of the heavens still waited her acceptance. So, O heart, to you Yahshua is still speaking in the essence of love. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We should pray that we gladly respond unto Yahweh's merciful plea, that we realize that his aim is to save us from the eternal ruin, that we should respond now in the day of the salvation, that we know he is pleading for us today as he pled with for Jerusalem at the time of his first advent, that the door of our hearts be never closed unto him. So I'll read that last paragraph again. For we should pray that we gladly respond unto the Yahshua, the Son, merciful plea, that we visualize that his aim is for the saving us from the eternal ruin, that we should respond now in the day of the salvation, that we know he is pleading for us today as he pled for Jerusalem at the time of his first advent, that the door of our hearts be never closed unto him. Beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of His person. It's a beautiful garden of prayer. A beautiful garden. Garden of prayer, oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. And my Savior reigns, and he opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. And the garden where Yahshua is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from his lips words of comfort, in a beautiful garden of prayer, in a beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. For the beautiful garden of prayer, and my Savior of ways, he opens the gate in the beautiful garden of prayer.
beg you to come meet them there. Blessed God, receive all the blessings in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. And my Savior always, when he opens the heart.